ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the 10th canto, chapter number 7. Text number 33. Drishtvadbhutani bahusho Nandagopo brihadvane Vasudeva vacho bhuyo Manayamasa vismitaha. Translation. Having seen all these incidents in Brihadvan, Nand Maharaj became more and more astonished, and he remembered the words spoken to him by Vasudev in Mathura. There's no purport to this text, so we'll read the 34th, 35th and 36th.
एकदार्भकम् आदाय स्वांकम् आरोप्य भामिनी प्रश्नुतम् पापयामास स्थनम् स्नेह परिप्लुता।
One day Mother Yashoda, having taken Krishna up and placed him on her lap, was feeding him milk from her breast with maternal affection. The milk was flowing from her breast and the child was drinking it.
पीता प्रायस्य जननी सुतस्य रुचिरस्मितं मुखं लालयति राजन् जृम्भतो ददृशे इदं खं रोदसी ज्योतिरङ्किमाशः खं रोदसी ज्योतिरनीकमाशाः सूर्येन्दुवह्नी स्वसनां बुधिंश्च द्वीपानगांस्तद्दुहित्री वनानि भूतानि यानि स्थिर जंगमानि।
Translation. O King Parikshit, when the child Krishna was almost finished drinking his mother's milk and Mother Yashoda was touching him and looking at his beautifully brilliant smiling face, the baby yawned and Mother Yashoda saw in his mouth the whole sky, the higher planetary system and the earth, the luminaries in all directions, the sun, the moon, fire, air, the seas, islands, mountains, rivers, forests, and all kinds of living entities moving and non-moving. Purport. By the arrangement of Yoga Maya, Krishna's pastimes with Mother Yashoda were all regarded as ordinary. So here was an opportunity for Krishna to show his mother that the whole universe is situated within him. In his small form, Krishna was kind enough to show his mother the Virat Roop, the universal form, so that he could enjoy seeing what kind of child she had on her lap. The rivers have been mentioned here as the daughters of the mountains, Nagams Tad Duhitrihi. It is the flowing of the rivers that makes big forests possible. There are living entities everywhere, some of them moving and some of them not moving. No place is vacant. This is a special feature of God's creation. So we are reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered to be the quintessence of the scripture. Of course, we have come to this stage after many years of reading through Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the first canto right up to the 10th canto. So before the wonderful pastimes of Sri Krishna, playing just like an ordinary child on the lap of Mother Yashoda, are being discussed. Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna being the Absolute Truth, has been established. What is dharma? What is religion? Or for that matter, dharma, which is translated as religion in English. And Prabhupada very wonderfully explains, that dharma means that nature which cannot be separated from the element. Or in other words, we can say the property. You know, like for example, we have in science, we studied so many elements. Mendeleev's periodic table and, you know, lithium, beryllium, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine and all these things. And every element had a property. So you cannot separate the property from the element or the element changes. So dharma means the property of the soul, which Prabhupada says and explains, as the Shastras explain, is to love and to serve. And this fact cannot be changed. Irrespective of which country we are from or which language we speak, what is our age, no matter what, the soul's property is to love and to serve. That is the foundation of dharma. So whom are we going to love, whom are we going to serve, is what the Shastra says will help in ensuring that the soul will seek out, accomplish and achieve the goal of his existence, which is happiness. And therefore dharma, religion, which is translated in English actually, which means to love and serve the supreme truth, satya, truth. And therefore, if the soul deviates from the principle, or if the philosophies in life or everything that a person does in life is not based on this principle of satya, of truth, God, then whatever he does in life will be useless. It will not yield him any happiness. It will not yield him any satisfaction. And the supreme truth is Krishna. And therefore, Bhagavatam begins with that. Janma adyasya yaton vayadi taratah charteshvya bhagya swarat tene brahma ridaya adi kavaye muyanti yat suryaha tejo vari mridam yathavini mayo itri trisargo misha dhamna swena sada nirastakuhakam satyam param dhimahi. That Krishna is the supreme truth. When Krishna is appearing from the womb of Devaki, the gods appear and offer the prayers. Satyavratam, satyaparam, trisatyam, satyasya yonim, nihittam cha satyam, satyasya satyam, rita satya netram, satyatmakam, tvam sharanam prapannaha. That you are the truth. And therefore, having established that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sri Krishna, the Bhagavatam then goes on to explain that how the wonderful residents of Vrindavan are having the wonderful privilege and the facility to love, care and serve the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Truth in Vrindavan. So that is the essence. Therefore, in one of my one of the programs in Vashi, one person, he attended the program, and he was at the end of the program, he comes to me, and he says, "You know, I want to ask you one question." He said, "How come you don't live, outside, and you don't do all these things?" So I said, "No, I'm not the only one. There are so many who are living like, oh, really? Wow, it's quite amazing." And he said, "What about you? What are you?" So he says, "I am working in the human resource department in a multinational company." And he said, "I've worked in many, many multinational companies, and I've changed so many jobs. And in every job," he said, "I have asked for 100% increment in my salary. I have money, I have jobs, And when I started off my career, I had such great confidence. But now, after so many years of having built my career, my house, my everything, my image in the society, as time is progressing, I am feeling a sense of insecurity. I'm losing my confidence. Now I'm thinking that what if I lose my position? What if I lose my job? I will have a blot on my career, on my image that I have created for so long. It was not the case when I started off with. When I started off with great confidence, but over the period of time when I moved on in my career, I'm losing my confidence, I'm losing my faith. But I'm seeing people, I've seen ISKCON and so many temples, devotees are like having nothing and they are so confident. How is that? So see, why that happens is because when life is based on asatya, if your life is based on a tottering platform, that's where everything collapses. As Jesus has said, don't build your house on sand, build your house on rock, where you know there is some possibility for the building to last. And today everything, every modern setup is based on the body. Do everything for the body, and earn money and feed the body, clothe the body, sleep, mate, defend, that's all. Everything is based on the body. And therefore, when something happens to these things, they don't have anything, any truth to fall down on or take support of. And therefore, people end up frustrated, feeling meaningless in life. So that is the fundamental principle. So why should one fear if one has based his life on truth? And that's what Krishna says in the Gita. Brahmani adhaya karmani sangam tyakva karuti saha. So Krishna says that offer all your the fruits of your action to Krishna. And that way you will be happy. Padbhavat patram evambasa. While you're acting in this world, you can live untouched by the world by simply doing your work for Krishna, offering the fruits of your work to Krishna. That way one can actually establish oneself on the platform of true happiness and true principles and the strong foundation of life. And therefore, dharma can be translated not just as a faith, but actually as happiness. Because ultimately, if one's life is based on asatya, then what one ends up with in the end is frustration, emptiness. And therefore, dharma should be also spoken as happiness, bliss. Is it not? Because generally when people think of dharma, people feel, oh no, upavas, difficult, giving up, tyag, all these things. But actually dharma means happiness. Because that's our nature. That is how the Shastra establishes it. And therefore, the more we live according to these foundational principles, base our life on surrendering all our activities to Krishna, there's nothing to fear. And as you progress, there's more and more confidence. There's more and more stability. So, with that, we can see that how Krishna is the absolute truth and these pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, has been described. So this is Braj Leela. Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna at his best. Supreme Personality at his best. The most intimate relationship of the Supreme Lord with his devotees. And here we can see that Mother Yashoda is breastfeeding Krishna, and she's looking into the mouth of Krishna, and she sees the whole universe in the mouth of Krishna. She sees the sun, the planets, the moon, the valleys, the mountains. Quite amazing. It's like a webcam. It's like a transcendental webcam. where Mother Yashoda is peeping into the mouth and she can see the whole universe, where there is no need for any cameras to be switched on. Automatically sitting in one place, she is able to see the whole universe. Whole universe is contained within the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna is sitting on the lap of Mother Yashoda. So that is the wonderful Aishwarya which Krishna is actually manifesting. So Krishna is amongst the very sweet pastimes of Krishna. Krishna tosses in a little bit of Aishwarya, you know, to show that how he is supreme. And even though we see that Krishna is supreme, and it has been spoken by Gargacharya, when Gargacharya comes to Vrindavan, and Gargacharya has spelt out that this child during the naming ceremony, Gargacharya tells Yashoda, tells Nanda Maharaj, that this boy of yours has incarnated previously in Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kaliyuga as in different incarnations. He's as good as Narayan. In different colors he has incarnated. He is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though all these things have been spoken, still Mother Yashoda, out of her love and affection for Krishna, is not able to realize that how he is supreme. Because his pastimes are so sweet that she gets into the illusion of yoga maya. And that is Vrindavan. And the acharyas explained that just like Krishna's activities were just like ordinary human child. When Mother Yashoda would look into the mouth of Krishna, she would look at the small growing teeth of Krishna. And she would think that though they are the milk droplets in Krishna's mouth. And looking at Krishna's lotus face, she would get so much intoxicated. The Brajbasis would tell Krishna, "Krishna, you want butter?" So the Krishna would look at them and say, "Yes, I want." "So then please dance for us." And then Krishna would, you know, dance. And he would make all these gestures and he would shake his, you know, waist and twirl around. And I mean, we find children very cute. Children basically are sweet. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead behaves like a child, that is the height of sweetness. Is it not? When Brahma goes to, it is explained that when Brahma and all the gods, 33 crore gods go to the Golok Vrindavan, at that time they see the beauty of Lord Shri Krishna and Vrindavan, and even Brahma and the 33 crore gods looking at the beauty of Shri Krishna, they express their heart saying that, "Please let us be born in Vrindavan so that we can associate with you in the mood of the gopis." The Garga Samhita explains that. The beauty of Krishna. Ghana prabham pad badalayute kshanam pralamba bahum bahupita vasasam vrindavanon matta milinda shabder virajitam shri vanamalaya harim. That his color is like the monsoon rain cloud, darkish. When Prabhupada was preaching in the west, somewhere in Africa, the Africans were saying, "Prabhupada, it's very nice to hear that Krishna is black like us. It's very nice." Probably they thought Krishna is not from Vrindavan, he's from Africa. Because we are black and Krishna is also black. So certainly, probably somewhere in Europe, the Europeans will be thinking that Radharani, she cannot be from Vrindavan, because how can anybody be white in Vrindavan? They're not white. So therefore, she must be from Europe, because she's white. But then Prabhupada explained that it's not that his color is black like you, his color is transcendental. In this world, black may not be beautiful, black may be beautiful, but that's for sure that Krishna's beauty is transcendental. So that beauty has been described. Ghanaprabham Padmadalayu Tekshanam Pralamba Bahum Bahupita Vasasam. He wears a yellow garment, yellow dhoti. Vrindavanon Mat Milinda Shabde Virajitam Shri Vanamalayahari. Kani Kala Kankana Nupura Dutim. Lasan Manohari Mahujjwala Smitam. Shri Vatsaratnottama Kuntala Shriyam. So it is explained that how the Lord's belt, Kani Kala, Kankana, and his ankle bells, Nupura, Dutim, and his smile, Lasan Manohari Mahojjwala Smitam, is very, very pleasing. And Shri Vatsa Ratno Uttama, and he's wearing Ratna Uttama, one of the topmost jewels, the topmost jewel, that is Shri Vatsa on his neck. Shri Vatsa Ratno Uttama Uttama Kirit Harangada Kundalatvisham. And he's having a wonderful crown on his head. He's having a wonderful hara. And the bumblebees are you know, hovering around his beautiful garland. So that is the beauty of Shri Krishna. Unmatched beauty that even the great gods have a desire to experience the beauty and reciprocate with him in Vrindavan. And therefore the Brajbasis are so enamored. And he's dancing, such beauty personified, not beauty personified, he's beauty personified. He's not even incarnation actually. So the gopis tell Krishna that, Krishna, where is your hands? Krishna points out to his hands. Where is your leg? These are my legs. Where is your teeth? And then he bows down in embarrassment because he doesn't have any teeth. And he looks down and says, I'm sorry, I don't have any teeth yet. So these are the sweet pastimes. So, you know, hearing these pastimes, which are like very, very ordinary, apparently so ordinary, but the charm is when you know that he's a supreme personality of Godhead at the same time. Once Krishna, he goes to the gopi and he says, please give me some butter. So the gopi was making cowdung cakes. So Krishna, please don't disturb us. You know, we are so busy. You go to your mother's got 9 lakh cows. Go and ask her for butter. Why are you coming to our house? How much do we have in our house? Go to your house. Krishna, no, I want butter from your house. It's okay, sit there. Let me do my work. After I finish my work, then I have to make 100 cow dung patties. After I finish, then I'll give you butter. So okay, Krishna, sit. And he makes, puts it to her. And every time she makes one cow dung patty, she takes one cow dung, this thing, and puts it on Krishna's face. Again, she makes second one, puts it on the wall, and again, she takes a little and puts it. So he's using Krishna's face as a counter. So after she makes 100 patties, Krishna's face is full of cow dung, black. And then after that, Gopi says, okay, now you want butter? He says, yes. And she puts a little piece of butter on his hands. And then Krishna takes it, and with great relish, he's eating that. So that is Vrindavan, Braj Leela. Very sweet. And there are so many such pastimes of Shri Krishna which the Acharyas explain. Make Krishna very endearing to the hearts of the Brajbasis. So like that. So we can understand that the love of the Brajbasis is divine. It's transcendental. It's not mundane. And therefore Krishna, from time to time, he reveals his Aishwarya. He reveals his glory of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is what makes it very sweet. The balance, everything about spirituality is about balance. You see. And that's how wonderfully Krishna balances his leelas with a little Aishwarya and a little of Madhurya. So here we can see that the Mother Yashoda is looking into the mouth of Krishna and experiencing the supreme bliss. In one sense, Mother The Supreme Lord is explaining, is showing that what a devotee misses out on, nothing. If you become a devotee, you don't miss out on anything. Everything is within Krishna. What do you have to go looking for when everything is contained within Krishna? As we explained that this person is confessing that I have accomplished everything in life, but there is no satisfaction. But here we can see that if you have attained Krishna, the supreme bliss is with us. And therefore Krishna explains in the Bhagavatam, it is explained. Yat karma bir yat tapasa jnana vairagya tascha yat yogena dana dharmena shreyobhir itarairapi sarvam mad bhakti yogena mad bhakte labatonjasa swarga apavarga mad dhama kathanchid yadivanchiti. Which says, what a devotee wants? Yat karma bhir yat tapasa, whatever you can get with your karma, by your work, yat karma bhir yat tapasa, whatever austerities you are doing, jnana vairagya tashchayat, and you may be renowned, you may be a great philosopher, you may be a great renunciate, yogena dana dharmena, and you can be engaged in the greatest form of yoga. You may give charity, dana, dharma, you may be very religious. Shreyobhir itarairapi, or any other path which you are following, sarvam madhbhakti yogena, everything can be accomplished by the practice of bhakti yoga. Madhbhakto labatenjasa, my devotee gets it automatically. And Lord is showing, in my mouth you just see everything is there. What you want? Sarvam mad bhakti yogena swarga apavarga madhama. You want swarga, you want heavenly pleasure, you'll get it. Apavarga, you want liberation, you'll get it. Madhama, you want to come back to my abode, you'll get that. So we can see that it is pretty easy to get for a devotee to get happiness, material happiness. We can see that in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj went into the forest not even to serve God. He went to get material opulence. Sana bilashi tapasi stitoham tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam kacham vichinvan api divya ratnam swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. I came, sthana bilashi, I came to you, O Lord. I came to you with the desire for a kingdom. Sthana bilashi tapasi stitoham. Tvam praptavan, but somehow by good fortune I received you. Deva munindra guhyam, who's difficult to attain even by the great rishis and the munis. Kacham vichinvan, I came for broken pieces of glass, some material things, but I have achieved a great jewel. Swamin krithartosmi, now I am completely satisfied. I don't want anything else. But still the Lord gave him, okay, no problem, what do you want? I ask, I know that you want a kingdom, so be it, so take it. And he was benedicted, he became the richest man in the universe. In fact, if somebody asks who's the richest man in the universe, one must not say anybody else but actually Dhruva Maharaj, because his planet is more opulent than even Brahma's. That was the opulence of Dhruva Maharaj. And the Lord asked, what do you want, Dhruva? Please ask something. I don't want anything. And if you want to really give me, then what you should give me? He's asking. Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvai me prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amala shayanam yenan jasol banamuruvyasanam bhavabdhim neshe bhavat gunakatham radapanamattaha. All I want is bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvai me prasango. All I want is to be in the association of your devotees. All I want is to hear constantly the glories of your wonderful activities. day and night. Want to hear? Bhuyat, Neshe, Bhavat Gunakathamrita, Panamattaha. All I want is to continuously hear your glories. That's all I want. And the Lord is saying there's no such place like that in this material world. When there is 24 hours katha going on, therefore I'll make a separate abode for you, that is Dhruva Loka, where all the Saptarishis will be circumambulating you. You can get the association of great saintly people and you can be constantly engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He attained material opulence, he attained the spiritual abode of Vishnu, he attained constant satsanga. So this is the sweetness of Lord Shri Krishna's bhakti. He attained mukti, Dhruva Maharaj. For many millions of years that he was, thousands of years that he was ruling the kingdom, at the end of his tenure, when he had to actually die, at that time, death personified, he saw death personified. He said, who are you? He said, I'm death. Come. But I'm trying to get you, but so wherever I come, I see the Sudarshan Chakra protecting you. I cannot. So please do me a favor. It is only through me that any soul of this world can pass on and go to the next world. That's my duty. Help me perform my duty. So Dhruva Maharaj, he sees the transcendental spaceship, the Vaikuntha Viman, appear in front of him, and it is a Prakrita, it is a transcendental, therefore it is not able to touch the ground, which is Prakrita, and therefore it is suspended in the air. And Dhruva Maharaj is seeing, how can I climb it? So he says, oh death personified, bow down, I want to step on you, I will use you as a ladder so that I can go to the spiritual world. And that way even your purpose will be fulfilled. So step down. So death personified is bowing down in front of a devotee, when actually in this world we see that everybody bows down in front of death. Nobody can escape death. Only through devotional service, through service of the Supreme Personality, Dhruva accomplished. Somebody was saying that once Yamraj, Yamadutas came into a man's house. And he opened the door and he says, we have come to take you, your time has come, it's time to die. He says, but I've not finished my family, my business, everything is incomplete yet. I've got a lot of things to do. Nothing doing. See this. And then he takes the slip and he sees his name is there on the list. I said, please come, please, at least before you do your work, let me get an opportunity to serve you. And then they come and they sit and says, please have some water, have some milk, hot milk, you've been working so hard. And what he does, he puts some sleeping tablets in the milk. And the Yamdutas, they drink it and they feel sleepy and they go to sleep. So in the meanwhile, he takes a slip and he sees his name is on the top. He takes out a pen and scratches it out and writes on the last. And he keeps it there and the Yamdutas wake up and he says, oh, I'm so pleased by your wonderful service. I'm so pleased. I'm really grateful to you. So, okay, I want to bless you. Every time I read the list from the top for you, I'm going to read the list from the down. From the bottom. So nobody can escape death. That's a folklore. Yes. It's from the Kali Puran. Sorry for putting that in, but here we can see Dhruva Maharaj. So we can see the death is same. Death is, Prabhupada explains, like a mouth of a cat. When she carries a kitten, she takes the kitten, takes it out of the a place and puts her back into the home. And the same mouth, when it catches a rat, it becomes very ferocious. I was at the top of the terrace, I was chanting Hare Krishna, and I saw that cat, on the top of the roof, and it was very cutely, it was doing meow, meow, and then looking at it, very nice, very sweet. And then it just turned around, and one grab, and inside the mouth was a rat. And I was like, I was reminded of this wonderful episode, that how in the life of a Vaishnava, death comes as Krishna. In the life of a non-devotee, of a sinful man, Krishna comes as death. Death is the same, but perceived differently by different kinds of people. And therefore, we see that Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw the Vaikuntha Viman, he steps on Yadottana Padhaputro Dadarshantakam Agatam Mrityur Murdhani Padam Datva Arurohad Bhutam Griham. That when he saw the wonderful Vaikuntha Viman, which was as big as a house, he puts his foot on the death personified and steps into the Vaikuntha Viman. So that is the glory of a Vaishnava. And we can see that the Vrajbasis are having all the facilities of happiness, all opulences, simply by service to God, to Krishna. And that is the essence. And therefore, service to Krishna is supreme. And therefore, one has to chant Hare Krishna. So Krishna, we can see that Mother Yashoda is looking into the mouth of Krishna. And she's seeing the whole world. And we have the privilege of having Krishna within our mouths when we chant Hare Krishna. Because Krishna is in His name, it's non-different. And therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna, Tunde Tandavini Ratam Vitanute Tundavali Labdhe Karana Kroda Kadambini Ghatayate Karanar Budhibhya Sveham. Rupa Goswami is explaining that when I chant Tunda, Tunde Tandav, my tongue is dancing in my mouth, is doing Tandav. And when Lord Krishna does Tandav on my tongue, which is doing Tandav, then I desire millions of years, millions of tongue. So we have that privilege of having Krishna dance within our mouths. That is the privilege that we can have of chanting Hare Krishna. Tunde tandavini ratim vitanute tundavali labdhe karna kroda kadambini ghatayate karanarbhutebhya spriham cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyadbhir amritai krishneti varnatvai. That there is no limit to the amount of pleasure that I am getting by chanting the holy names of Krishna, these two words, Krishna. And therefore, there is every pleasure in the holy name of Krishna, and that we have the privilege of chanting Hare Krishna. So, the Mother Yashoda is looking into the mouth of Krishna to find out the whole universe. We can have Krishna within our mouths. The mouth of Krishna is very sweet in one sense, but can be very dangerous also. In fact, the Garga Samhita has a wonderful pastime of Durvas Muni coming to Gokul Mahavan. And he finds Krishna playing with his boys, cowherd boys. He's fighting with them. He's having all dust all around his, all over his body. And he's fighting with his cowherd boys. And he's thinking, can he be God? Cannot be God. Because why should God be in the house of cowherd boys? Cannot be God. So when Durvas Muni thought that, Krishna, very wonderfully playing in a sweet, wonderful manner, he came and he sat on the lap of Durvas for a few moments, and he got up and he went. And again he looked back and he smiled and he opened his mouth, and Durvas Muni entered into the mouth of Sri Krishna. And when he enters into the mouth, he finds he enters into another universe filled with mountains and completely desolate with no people. And for a billion years, Durvas Muni sits there in tapasya, trying to find out what to do, meditation. And finally, billions of years, and when the pralaya takes place, when the whole universe gets flooded, for again thousands of yugas, he's floating in the water, not knowing how to get out of this. And finally, in that situation, he gets out, he enters into another universe, goes into the Satya Loka of that universe, lives there for the entire time period of Brahma, finally to find a crack in the shell of the universe. He goes through the shell of the universe, goes into Goloka Vrindavan. There he finds Sri Krishna sitting there, sweetly smiling at him. He opens his mouth and he comes out of the mouth of Sri Krishna back into Gokul Mahavan. Then this great yogi understands that this small child is not an ordinary child. After going through all that experience. He experienced billions of lifetimes of time in just a few moments. You know. So that is the glory of Krishna's mouth. And we have the opportunity to have Krishna within our mouths. That is the thing. And therefore one has to, and therefore it is explained that when we chant Hare Krishna, Mahaprabhu says, explains that Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Iva Sahishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that if we simply chant Hare Krishna with humility, without offending devotees, then we can attain the supreme perfection of life without offenses. Without offenses. That is a very important consideration. Just do these two things. I was going through Garga Samhita and I came across this wonderful Leela, which I did not know. That in Vrindavan it is explained that Kalia was also there, the snake Krishna subdued. And it is explained that how Kalia, in his past life, was a great yogi. His name was Vedashir. And he was doing tapasya in Vindhya Parvat. And he was approached by another Ashvashira, another muni, great sadhu. So he said, I want to come to your hut to do tapasya. And Vedashir said, out of the whole world, you got only my hut to come and do tapasya. Go find another place, for God's sake. And he said, you are hissing like a snake. I curse you, become a snake. So he said, for such a small offense, you curse me to become a snake. I curse you, you become a crow. And the cursing goes back and forth and both are unhappy. And Lord Vishnu descends and he says, please, peace. You both are my devotees. I don't like my devotees fighting. So please settle down, don't fight. And because devotees, whatever they say has to come true, so I will also honor your words. Because you have cursed, you have to become a snake. And because you have cursed, you have to become a crow. And therefore, Vedashir becomes Kalia in Vrindavan. And Ashvashir becomes Bhushunda, the crow Bhushunda, in Anil Bharavat. And Lord Vishnu blesses them that, yeah, okay, because you are my devotee, I bless you, that even though you will become the snake, and you will be terrified of Garuda, but Krishna will bless you with his lotus feet, and Garuda will no longer trouble you. And even though you will become a crow, you will be blessed with transcendental knowledge of the Ramayana and Mahabharata and Bhagavatam, and you will actually be the one to speak Ramayana to Garuda. So we can see that amongst Vaishnavas, it is expected that there has to be happiness and there has to be cooperation. Otherwise, if there is cursing, then it has to come true. And but ultimately, Krishna is not pleased. As I was explaining last time that, you know, sometimes because of the age of Kali Yuga, previously there was a lot of gratitude. Nowadays, gratitude is missing. Previously, parents, you know, and children were having so much of love. And children would tell the parents, you have done so much for me. And parents would say, no, it's just our duty. Every parent does that for the children. But in the age of Kali Yuga, it has become opposite. Parents are saying, I have done so much for you. And children are saying, so what? All parents do that for their children. So also that is also seen in devotional circles sometimes. Where previously there was gratitude for the guru or the preacher. And he would say, Prabhu, you have brought me into Krishna consciousness. Thank you so much. You have given me knowledge. You have taken care of me. And the guru says, I am just an instrument. You know, it is my duty. And in the age of Kali Yuga, it has changed. The authority tells the disciple that, I brought you into Krishna consciousness. And the disciple says, Prabhu, you are just an instrument. But I guided you, I gave you knowledge. Prabhu, that's your duty as a counselor. Why are you the counselor? So that may also happen, and therefore is explained that what is being said is the truth, but when the person who's supposed to say it does not say it and the opposite person says it, that makes it very bad. And therefore, there's nobody happy. Krishna is not happy and the devotees are not happy. Nobody is happy. And therefore, the culmination is to chant Hare Krishna with humility. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva saishana. In that mode, if one chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hare Hare.